Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 154 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I have with me, as always, Mr.
Kelvin Thomas Newman.
I didn't know your middle name.
I've had this conversation before. Yes, it's a good name. I don't use it that frequently, no. It's just Kelvin Newman.
And I'm Andrew Thomas White, would you believe it?
Oh, yes, we have. I forget this every time, don't we?
Yes, we do. But anyway. What we're talking about today is Facebook.
Yes!
Facebook tips and techniques, strategies, or thigh book, as I like to call it.
I don't know. Yeah, fair enough. If that's what you like to think about, I don't know.
Particularly interested in the use of and he said thigh book, of Facebook in business, actually.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, as part of our ongoing series to kind of kick off 2012 here, we're kind of going through the three main social networking sites that are highest on most businesses' kind of agenda. So in our previous episode, we talked about Twitter. I'm going to be talking today about Facebook. And in our next episode, we're going to be talking about LinkedIn. Now, these are kind of beginner sessions where I'm going to be talking about some of the most common issues I've found businesses asking about Facebook. So if you're a seasoned Facebook pro, hopefully there'll be a couple of key takeaways and bits you didn't know. But this show is mainly intended for people who either have just started on the journey of setting up a business presence on Facebook or are contemplating it and perhaps a little bit unsure about whether they should be doing it and investing their time in Facebook. So the question I get asked most frequently about Facebook is the distinction between pages versus groups. And I think we've had this as a Q&A question before. Mm. And this hasn't really been helped by initially, Facebook hadn't really got a clear plan of how businesses should be using their service. They kind of never really thought about that. Although, like a couple of years ago, they started to make it a little bit clearer how businesses should be using the service.
Well, I always thought that businesses should be using pages.
Well, that's, yeah, pretty much in most cases the decision that they should be using, although you will have found in some cases they will have set up groups previously. So some of the things that are worth considering about what makes pages better than groups is, first of all, Facebook want you to be using pages. That's the kind of preferred option, so that's worth considering, because in the past Facebook have preferred they've kind of made, if you've made a decision that's kind of ended up against what they wanted you to do, they've kind of turned off accounts of people and that type of thing. So you should always tend to kind of go with what they suggest as well. But a very practical reasons why pages kind of beat groups is there's a limit to 5,000 members. Members of a group. So that's kind of quite limiting if you're, maybe not all of the people listening to the podcast are in a situation where they're going to have 5,000 people interested in their business, but you could get to that point. And if you go down the group point of view, you're then stuck at that point. You can't get any bigger than that. It's also worth bearing in mind that groups tend to reflect on you as an individual personally. So you're listed as an admin of that group. And it's kind of, it's difficult, if not impossible, to kind of break that connection, which isn't a problem in many cases. But say you are a marketing agency and you're setting one up on behalf of a company, a client of yours is kind of connected to you there as well. And there's a lot of functionality you can't have as well by being a group rather than a page. You can't get some of the Facebook apps. But you can send messages rather than updates, which is kind of potentially quite useful as well. So you can send messages to your group users as well. So that's another reason for groups.
It's a bit like an email list in
that
respect.
Yeah, but you can't do that if you're kind of just a page. Now, it's worth also making the distinction as well that groups aren't always a bad idea. So potentially groups, I think, can work quite well as kind of something that's not branded as your company, but perhaps is promoting a cause that your company would like to be associated with. So perhaps, for example, Site Visibility could set up an internet marketing podcast group, maybe, rather than a page, because that's kind of more like a forum. So we might want to do it in that way, which can be helpful, and then connect there. But I think in pretty much every case, you're probably better off with a page rather than a group. Okay, if I've convinced you that a page is the way to go rather than a group.
I'm convinced.
I've done my job well there. What do you need to know about Facebook pages? Well, first of all, you need to have an account on Facebook in order to create a page. So you need a personal account there as well. Your Facebook page will be tied to your personal profile as the admin of the Facebook page. However, only you and Facebook know that connection exists. So that's not a public one. You can have an unlimited number of Facebook pages. So, Andy, you could have 150 Facebook pages if you so wanted. Mm-hmm. And you can also have an unlimited number of fans. So that's people who have liked your page. And Facebook pages are public. Anyone can find and view your page, whether they're logged into Facebook or not.
Okay, so let me get this right. Mm-hmm. On a Facebook page, it doesn't really have the concept of a member.
No.
More, it just has a concept of who has liked this page and is therefore now deemed a fan.
Yeah, and that's okay. More like a friendship as well. So a group you become a member of, and you can become, also interesting as well on the groups is a lot of people don't know this, but you can set up private groups on Facebook as well. So there's a couple of groups I'm members of that kind of aren't publicly available, but then the members of it allows them to have kind of, it's like a private forum, really, but uses your Facebook account there as well. So worth noting on those fronts there as well.
So is that password protected?
It's not password protected, but it's kind of invite only. So you wouldn't know about it unless, and then people can, withhold the right to allow you to join that group.
Okay.
So when you've got a Facebook page, you really want to try and get a vanity URL. So that's kind of facebook.com/ whatever you decide. So username or company name. Because then you can start to promote that on some of your offline literature, which you wouldn't want to do if it was facebook.com/?75845,
yes.
So how do you do that? Well, you need to have at least 25 fans. So this is why you probably will have seen, if you operate in the world of internet marketing, a lot of your friends desperately begging you to be in the first 25 people to like their clients' pages so they can then grab the URL and then promote it externally. So you need to try and do that. And if you can't get 25 fans, you probably need a plan to try and get 25 fans, if you see what I mean. So you kind of probably really do want to try and get that vanity URL as soon as you possibly can. So what do you do when you've got your page set up? Well, a very common approach, which tends to work very well, is to create a custom landing page. So when people view your page, which encourages them to like you. So they view it. And then your ultimate goal there is to get them to like it, so you can then, kind of build a relationship off the back of that. Now, ways people often do that is with competitions. So we've done that quite a lot recently for our clients, where we have a big campaign we've done. I don't know if we can talk about the actual client. Basically, it was like a 12 days of Christmas campaign, where every day in the 12 days in the run-up to Christmas, they gave away Christmas-related prizes. And we were able to get, some really successful results for them because there was a competition. So they then... The competition encouraged people to like the page, and they had to enter their email address, and that was really good. They then had the email addresses they could promote to, but they've now also got a much bigger Facebook page, which they can use to kind of promote their content and do all kinds of usual amazing marketing
so
stuff
the,
off
the collection
back
of the email was not part of the normal like process. It was a separate process, was it?
No, but you do need to do that for competitions.
Yes.
I don't know all of the details, but what I will say is Facebook competition rules they're not complicated, but you need to understand them because they'll pull your account, they'll pull your competition if you don't follow them.
Okay.
So if you are considering doing a kind of like us and enter this chance to win what it is we do, do look into those competition rules because they're quite specific about what you need to do. Now, this is kind of harking back to an episode we did probably about 6 months ago now about Edge Rank. But post interesting content when you've got your page. So, you know, it's not just enough to have a page, have 1,000 people like you. You need to be doing things on a daily, weekly basis to kind of get people to interact with you. Don't be too self-promotional, which is kind of true as well. And also use Facebook groups as well. You can't join them as a page, but as a kind of individual working for a company, look for the Facebook groups that are out there and active and participate in them in behalf of your business. So, Andy, as an individual, there's probably groups about podcasting that you want to be involved in, and vice versa.
I've got a really juicy question to ask you later.
Oh, well, later. Okay.
Well, I'll let you carry on because you're in mid-flow. Okay. Carry on, Kelvin.
Yeah, and so other things to do as well. Posting photos and tagging people in them is a great way to get attention as well. And simply asking people to share your content. So, like, we've got this great competition coming up. Would you share it with your friends? You know, kind of putting verbs in status updates has a huge impact on the likelihood of them happening. So kind of saying vote on or comment on or tell us, by putting those types of words in, you find you'll have much better engagement in your content. So make it clear in every status update what you want people to do, because that makes a difference. And now might be a good time for that question, Andy, if that's all.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, or...
Okay, well, my question is... Let me just clear my throat. Excuse me. Actually, I'll be very transparent here because it's a question about my own company.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what I do is I produce podcasts for quite a number of clients. Yeah. Would it be a good idea, in your opinion, for me to have a Wire World media page...
Yep.
With all the podcasts that I ever produce on it. First of all, is it technically possible?
Yeah. I mean, basically...
I think it's a good idea.
Well, the way that the Facebook pages work is... There used to be kind of Facebook markup language and all that type of thing, but essentially all it is now is an iframe. So if you can put it on a web page, you can put it on a Facebook page.
So you can embed in a Facebook page in the same way that you can embed a page into your normal sort of stream?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you could do is, I mean, what you'd probably want to be doing is every time there was a new episode, that becomes a status update in its own right.
Yes.
But you could have within the Wire World media page a kind of tab that said podcast, and in that it had internet marketing podcasts and the various ones you're involved in off the back of that. And each of them had a biography page about that podcast and then the 10 most recent episodes. So that if you can do it in, in a normal web page, you can do it on a Facebook page.
Cool.
So worth considering on that front there as well.
Yeah.
Particularly if you then could, because the way I'd maybe go down that route is like you say, okay, well, like Wire World Media to get this free exclusive podcast on how to make podcasts or that type of thing, which, you know, you've made exclusive that you couldn't get anywhere else is a good way of doing that. So some of the other things to think about on Facebook marketing is their paid adverts. They can be, you know, there's over 750 million potential customers on Facebook. And what you can do is if you've never seen the Facebook adverts before, you can select your audience by location, age, interest, where they work, all those types of things, and have specific adverts to them. So like if I were a wedding photographer, which I know we've got a few listeners of, I could specify people who lived in my catchment area, who were women, who were between a certain age, who were engaged. and only show my adverts to those, but not to anyone who's married. Ooh. Or anyone who's, you know, just in a relationship. You can have text-based adverts or text and image-based adverts. Image adverts tend to work the best, but be aware that your adverts will be shown a lot. So you need to continually be mixing them up to kind of avert banner blindness, as it were. Mm-hmm. So I've seen some great case studies on Facebook advertising where all they do was change the photo every week and found that had a huge impact, even though the photo wasn't that different, really. It was kind of, you know... and the body copy, the text that surrounded it was exactly the same. It was just the freshness that had the impact. So, some particular tips about Facebook ads. Your click-through rate directly influences your cost per click. So the better your advert performs, the less it costs you, which is kind of very familiar with people who are doing pay-per-click on search engines already. The more targeted... your group is, so you kind of go down, you could even go down to people who work for a particular company in a particular location, the higher the cost per click will be, but the click-through rate should go up and the value of those people should be higher. So it may be cheaper to go after all the women in the UK, but you might be better to kind of restrict it. It might cost you more, but actually you'll probably get more for your money in the long term by doing that as well. There's some pretty specific ad guidelines, so do read those before setting up your campaign. It can work quite well on your website if, when you send them through, you create a specific Facebook landing page. So when they land on your site, they perhaps get a slightly different version of your site or slightly different landing page to the ones they do before as well. Also, bear in mind, it's going to be different from a paid search advert. They're not necessarily at that moment in time specifically looking for your product or service. So say someone who types in, you know, to continue the wedding photographer analogy, that's the one I was
whatever
for. So say I go into Google and type in wedding photographers in Sussex, right? What I want to see when I land on your page is very different from someone who is engaged, who sees an advert for a wedding photographer on Facebook and comes to your website.
Sure.
So probably what the searcher is looking for is kind of comparisons, data, you know, why they should buy from you, whereas probably the Facebook person is probably more looking for kind of information. So you might want to, you know, have a portfolio that they can download, a kind of, like, you know. So maybe I'd say, and you want to test this because, you know, different things will work for different campaigns, but perhaps from a pay-per-click landing page, you want a landing page that says, here's why you should choose us and here's how you contact us, and that's kind of the action. Whereas from a Facebook page, you might have a say, would you like to see some of the great photos we've taken of other brides and see some of their great dresses? Can we have your email address? And, you know, so ultimately you still get the same thing, you get their contact details, but you've approached them in a slightly different way as well. Okay. Also look at ad fatigue as well. As I said, try and rotate your images effectively.
Is it just the images you think you should change rather than text?
I think the copy as well can be good as well. And you always be testing, is what I would say. But it's what you'll find on Facebook is that, okay, so say someone searched, like, to compare it to pay-per-click, which I suppose is its nearest kind of analogy.
It does sound, you know, very, very similar.
It works on a similar model, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's not going to be searching a lot, right? They'll search once and maybe see your advert a couple of times. Whereas on Facebook, you know, the average one in three page views on the internet is on Facebook.
Yeah.
So a third of all of the pages that are viewed every day on the internet is Facebook. So that's a lot of times that someone could see your advert before they click. So you've got to then think about your adverts in a different way. So it's about kind of drip feeding them to encourage them to be familiar with you and then somehow getting them to make an action. Whereas pay-per-click is a little bit more direct, make them click now. Whereas Facebook is a little bit more subtle. But you kind of want to, there's a way you can do it where it's just, you know, batter them into submission so they become so familiar with you that they have to consider you, which is one way of doing it. The other one is kind of, well, how can you get them to look at you lots of different times and eventually make a click? And that's about kind of combating the ad fatigue there, I think.
Kelvin, I know that with pay-per-click, you can kind of protect yourself by saying, oh, if we go over like 1,000 clicks a day, just turn it off for the rest of the day. Can you do a similar thing in Facebook?
Yeah, they've got entirely those same kind of management techniques that allow you to kind of control your budget.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a really interesting system. So what I would say is there's kind of two ways to approach Facebook. There's marketing and advertising. Don't underestimate the power of the advertising. It is getting more expensive, but it's cheaper than pay-per-click. So if you found you can't afford pay-per-click, you might be able to afford Facebook advertising. So do consider that. And, you know, if you are doing that, really, really narrow down the demographics that you've got. It will cost you more, but it will save you money in the long run. And consider that the people on Facebook are going to want something different when they come to your website, so serve them different content. So that's kind of my main top tips around the advertising. Around the marketing, pages are almost always better than groups. But when you are setting up a page, consider encouraging people to like with something compelling and exclusive that they only get if they like you. And additionally, once you've got them to like you, that isn't the end of the story. You need to be consistently adding new content and interacting with them based on kind of the Edge Rank principles, which we've talked about in a previous episode. So if you're at all interested in that, look back through the archive for our episode about Facebook's Edge Rank algorithm.
Just a quick question, Calvin.
Yes.
This concept of allowing only people who have liked you to get some sort of resource, is that easy to do on Facebook?
Dead simple. Right, so okay. I will try and include in the show notes how you go about doing that. But if you kind of... basically, what happens is the way that it works is within Facebook, you show one version of the page that's available to people who haven't liked you, and one version of the page that's available to people who have liked you,
okay. And
therefore you just include the link on one and not on the other. So it's kind of very common way of doing things. So there's it's a really dead simple Google one to do there, and actually probably it'd be easier to look at a web page or a video of that rather than an audio explanation.
Well, Calvin, as always, thank you very, very much for that. That wraps it for today.
Yeah, I hope people find that useful and gives them that little nudge to get involved in Facebook marketing for their business if they haven't done already.
So that's the end of episode 154 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And I'll see you all next time. Thanks for listening. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.